Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. See your pens. Pen. Lesson plan. We have a quiz today. That's right. Don't think he got off the hook. I'm not going to forget. Okay, here's the rules. 10 questions. If you get a question, well, we're going to give the question, then we're going to pick the answer. As you pick the answer, keep it in your head. Don't say it out loud. Then we'll tell you the answer. So I'm going to, what I'm going to do is give the question, have you think about it, then I'm going to say the answer is, and then we'll all say it together. The goal is to get 8 out of 10 right. That is an A. In normal circumstances, that's a B. But we're just going to hook y'all up because we love you. Okay? Okay, let's keep track of your answers, see if you get 8 to 10 right. First question. Okay, the question should read, God forsook Jesus when he was on the cross because Jesus became something. Okay? Don't say anything. The answer is Jesus became what? Sin. Very good. Next question. What did God use to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness when they sinned in the garden? I think it's a multiple choice. Fig leaves, animal skins, light, blood. The answer is B. And if you said blood, you're half right too, because that's the blood of the lamb. But really, the animal skins he covered them up with. Okay, next one. Cain gave God what blank wanted, and Abel gave God what blank wanted. And this is when they brought an offering to the Lord. It describes the offering. What kind of offering? Cain gave God what blank wanted. Okay, two words you're looking for, two different words. The answers are Cain and God. Okay? Cain gave God what Cain wanted because he was selfish, didn't want to obey what God prescribed. Abel gave God what God wanted. When you give a sacrifice to the Lord, which is a broken heart, a humble heart, you don't give God what you want. You give God what he wants. Okay? Next one. Why do people get angry? This is a multiple choice. A whole lot of attitude. I'm just, man. Because they're not thankful for what they have? Yeah, that's true. Because they're treated unfairly? Yeah, because they don't get what they want. The answer is C. They don't get what you want. Okay? Next one. How many pairs of each clean animal did Noah bring onto the ark? Now, these aren't clean, like, not funky clean. These are clean. Before you don't get the answer yet. Don't get the answer yet. Okay. got the video man cheating on me now. Okay, next one. Where did the ark come to rest when the floodwaters receded? If you watch the news, they think they found the ark, by the way. I don't know if you heard that, but the place where the ark is has a lot of snow on it, and that's no big hint, supposedly it's been a warm climate, and they believe they found something up there, so be watching the news for that, if it is true. We know it's there. But when it's discovered, it's going to rock a lot of people's world. So the answer is Mount Ararat. Okay, watch the news. Go on the internet and check it out. They're having an expedition, I believe, this year. When you think of Noah, what should come to your mind? Multiple choice. That he built a boat, he was a preacher of righteousness, he was perfect in his generation, he walked with God, or all of the above. Please don't answer this. Please don't. When I say the answer is, that's when y'all can respond, okay? The answer is all of the above. Yeah, thank you very much. Number 8, please don't yell this out. What sign did God give to show a promise that he would never flood the earth again? Think. If someone next to you says it out loud and you know them really well, do what we used to do as kids, bap, smack them upside the back of the head. The answer is rainbow. We gave you a hint. It's right at the top of the screen. See the rainbow at the top of the screen? So we got all these subliminal hints there for you because we know you're kind of challenged, so we want to help you out. Okay, next one. Please don't be offended by that. We have fun here. True or false? Love sees no color. We're talking about ethnicity. Last week we talked about everybody's the color brown. If there's no black or white people, God has colored us with melanin. It's brown. So love sees no color. Is that a true or false question? The answer is false. Love sees color, sees shades of brown, sees ethnicity, sees different kinds of people, and appreciates, just like you see those colors at the top of the screen, and you appreciate blue, red, yellow, green, whatever. Next one. As we look around us, we can see that God loves something in people's nationalities. There's something he loves It's kind of a hard question, but we'll give you a bonus if you get this one right. The answer is diversity or variety, okay? How many people got, count your answers. How many people got 8 to 10 right? Be honest. Very good, very good. Give yourselves a hand. How many people got 6 to 7 right? Very good. 4 to 5? Do you really want to admit that? Less than 4? Anyone want to admit that? I got the 4. Okay. You need to step up your game. Okay. Okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that Genesis 12 is not hard to find. It's the 12th chapter in the whole Bible. If we're past the 10th page, we're missing it. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for being so faithful and powerful in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham is called the father of faith. And we're going to see in a few minutes why he was a father of faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. A righteous man, a righteous woman shall walk by faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. I can go on and on all day on faith. The bottom line is that if you're going to walk with God and please God and do everything God wants you to do and become everything God wants you to be, it is going to require you to walk by faith. Another way of saying that, it's going to require you to walk and conduct your life outside the information that your senses give you. Faith works beyond the use of your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your fingers, your touch, your perception gathers information, but faith needs to make the decision. Example, you might see a dark alley with some people down there, it looks scary, and God may say, I want you to go down that alley. Your mind says, I'm running that way. Your feet may even start to obey your mind. But if faith says to go, you have to say, no, I'm going to go because I trust God. Faith is always based on facts, the facts of God's word written and spoken in your heart. What he speaks in your heart will always be consistent with what the Bible teaches. It will never tell you to speak and do something that's against the Bible. When these people say, God told me to kill my parents, that's not the God of the Bible. They're listening to the devil. That's Satanism. I mean, that's Satan talking to them. Abraham was a father of faith because Abraham, we're going to see in a few minutes, is the father of three major religions, but also Abraham made so many major decisions based on a promise God gave him. Matter of fact, there are four segments of Abraham's life. The first segment segment of Abraham's life is when God called him to leave the land of his father and go to a place he will show him. The second part of Abraham's life was God made a promise to him that he would have an heir, a son through which he would build a great nation. The third part is where God made a covenant with Abraham and Abraham was circumcised and his name was changed. And the last part of Abraham's life was when God told him to sacrifice his son and he went and did it. We're going to see what happened when that happened. So Abraham had all these amazing things that he did based solely on what God told him. He was a father of faith. As a Christian, you and I are required no less than Abraham to act based on what God says. You and I are required no less than Abraham to act based on what God said. First time I heard a message on Abraham 12, 1 and 3, I was sitting at Multnomah Bible College at a chapel. I had just done a youth camp. I was in ministry 2 weeks. I just retired from the NFL 3 weeks before that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like sitting in this chapel, and I was making $500 a month as a youth pastor. $125 a week. I had a wife, house, 2 cars, 2 kids and a third one coming, and I was making $125 a week. The reason I tell you that is because don't ever complain you don't have enough money. My house payment was 3 times that. God still made a way. And I was sitting there, and I'm sitting there watching all these kids come into this Bible college for chapel, and I'm thinking, I'm in ministry, and I don't even know what they know. I need to go back to school. That was on a Monday. That Friday, someone put in my hand. I was just standing in the office. Someone put in my hand and said, you can go to Azusa Pacific, get a Master of Divinity, and the classes start Monday. Which would be 7 days, a week later. But I was sitting there, and God said, by faith, go do this. I said, well, the class was $700. It was $200 more than I made. How was I going to take a class? Well, I have a Master's of Divinity right now. God worked it all out. God may say something to you, and you can ask all the questions you want, but do not require God to answer all your questions before you move. Because he got the answers. He'll just sit there and go, go. But I need to know this. I ain't going to tell you. Because he don't work that way. That's just the one he's in. He's very stubborn. He's not going to negotiate his whole system because of you. Telling you fact. Okay, let's look at our notes. Let's look at the Bible. Genesis 12 says, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your father and from your father's house, and I will show you. Say, I will. To a land I will show you. Say, I will. Make you a great nation. Say, I will. Bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Say, I will. Bless those who bless you. Say, I will. Curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed because of you. Now look in your notes. There's six things God said I will to do. One, I will make you a great nation. He did, the Hebrew nation, the Israel nation. I will make you a great nation. He said, I will bless you. He says, I will, and he was a very wealthy man, by the way. He says, I will bless all the families of the earth. God, through Abraham, created the Hebrew nation, Israel. Through Israel, he created a culture, and he, in that culture, outlined how they were to worship him. And through that culture and that system of worship called Judaism, he birthed Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, I didn't come to abolish what he created. I came to fulfill it, but in a spiritual way. And now we have Christianity. He says, I will through you bless the whole earth. So from Abraham down through the line, through David, came Jesus. Jesus blessed the whole earth. That's what he's talking about. Next one. I will bless those who bless you. One of the reasons this country is blessed, one of the reasons, because we support Israel. Israel is all God's people. One of the reasons they're getting dogged out right now because they're not worshiping Christ. If you read the Old Testament, what they're experiencing now is nothing new. They've been getting it all their history. Why? Because they won't obey God. Why is it on the news every day? Because they're God's people. God's got his eye on them. He's coming back to Jerusalem. He's not coming back to San Diego. He ain't coming here. He's going to Jerusalem. That's his city. And he's coming back to claim it. And the reason it's in the news, the reason there's so much fighting, is because the devil's stirring up business there. It's all a spiritual issue. It's not a political. It's not about, politics and money. It's spiritual. And we're going to see in the coming weeks that the Arabs and the Jews are cousins through Abraham. Ironic enough. I will curse those that curse you. I will curse those that curse you. And I will show you a land to dwell in. I will show you a land to dwell in. Now, there are three worldwide faiths that claim Abraham as their father. If you look in your notes, one, the Islam claims Abraham as their father through Ishmael. I-S-H-M-A-L-E-L. Ishmael. We're going to see in the coming weeks that Abraham had a son through his wife's maid named Ishmael. And he had 12 sons and had a whole group of people. And they claim him as, they say that Abraham sacrificed Ishmael in Jerusalem in the same spot that the Jews in the Bible says Abraham sacrificed Isaac. And we'll look at that next one. Judaism through Isaac and Jacob. Judaism is a faith through Isaac and Jacob. You will always see in the Bible, many times, the God of the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everyone say Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Say Isaac. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Say Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Say Jacob. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Say Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Say Jacob, Israel. Jacob, Israel. Don't die on me now. Say Jacob, Israel. Israel had 12 sons. Israel had how many sons? 12. Those sons are the 12 tribes of Israel. All the Jews come from one of those 12 sons. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Everyone say Abraham. Abraham. Say Isaac. Isaac. Say Jacob. Jacob. God told Abraham in his last part of his life, I want you to go and sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. He brings him up. We're going to see this in a few weeks. He gets ready to kill him, and God provides a ram in the bushes. The Islam claims that Abraham took Ishmael, his other son, on that same spot and went to sacrifice him. Now, if you ever watch the news, CNN, you'll see Wolf Blitzer. I'm Wolf Blitzer in Jerusalem, and behind him many times will be this gold dome, the Dome of the Rock. Are y'all, just say yes if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, that dome is over the spot that they both believe Abraham sacrificed Isaac and or Abraham sacrificed Ishmael. The Islam has a specific rock that they believe it happened on, and that is the place that they believe Muhammad ascended into heaven. So the reason you have all these fightings on the Dome of the Rock, it's a 4-acre plot of land, is where the Jews are supposed to build the new temple. And the Islam says that's our holy site. There's going to be all hell break loose when that happens. That's a big issue right now. It's been an issue for years. They're fighting over that spot. Now, this, as big as this earth is, why that spot? Well, the Bible says that God sacrificed Isaac on Mount Moriah, so the devil says, well, I'm going to make something up. I'm going to say we're there. That's ours. It's like when you're a little kid, and there's about that much ice cream left, okay? And you got two kids, but that much ice cream, and they ain't splitting up because that much ice cream ain't enough. You got to have that much ice cream. So your mother says, you can have it. All of a sudden, your brother now says he wants it just because he don't want you to have it. That's what the devil's doing. When you see the Jews at the Wailing Wall doing this, boom, shakalaka, boom, and they put the little prayers in the wall. That wall's from the old temple. You know what I'm talking about? The Wailing Wall. Well, we're going to have a wall like that in our church. We put prayers in the cracks. And at the top of the wall is this 4-acre plot of land. And that's where the Jews have their part, Islam has their part, but biblically, the temple's supposed to go on a spot where the Islam has their part. It's going to be, ooh, it's going to be nasty. That's why they fight all the time. You can't go in certain parts, dress a certain way, you break the law, you break religious law. And so the Muslims say Abraham's our father, and this is Isaac his son, and he's our patriarch, and Muhammad's our prophet. And the Jews say, no, Abraham's our father, and Isaac his son, and he sacrificed his son here. And the Christians say, no, Abraham's our father, and Jesus Christ is his son. Oh, it's all about Abraham. He's the man. Now, let's try to shift gears here. On the news the other day, you saw the soldiers posing in pictures with the Iraqis. Now, I want you to understand something, that this world, there's a battle, spiritual battle going on in this world. Who's God? And this whole terrorism thing is all about religion. One of the things that the Muslims do not want to happen is they don't want their countries that are ruled by their God, okay? In their mind, Allah rules their country, and they run their countries by religious law, okay? It's not run by man or king or president. It's run by God in their mind. And they run it according to the Quran very strictly. And one of the things that they're very strict about is how women appear and sex and all that stuff. You know, alcohol, that stuff is just banned. In our country, we run kind of by popular demand. Now this country is getting away from having the Bible as a foundation for how we run by popular demand and democracy, and saying there's no more truth, you can do anything you want, basically where our country's going, and sexual immorality is the rule of the day, homosexuality specifically. When we have sexual immorality on TV with people sleeping together, not married, adultery, Sex in the City, all these shows, sex, 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 to a Muslim, that is like the worst pit of hell stuff, and it is true. It is the worst pit of hell stuff. And they are so offended by that. And they do not want their culture, which is strict to the Quran, to be poisoned by that. Now, whether you believe in Islam or not, which I'm assume none of you do, the point is you cannot, you, be careful not to respect their commitment to what they believe. As Christians, we have to decide, are we going to be American or be Christian? Because when I saw those pictures, I was ashamed. And I can now see all the billions of Muslims saying, that's exactly, look at how they are offending not only humans, which is crazy what they did, but they're offending our culture, our religion. This is the very thing we don't want to happen. No wonder they call us the great Satan. Now, am I anti-American? No, but I'm anti what America's doing. Matter of fact, the Lord told me, I just want to say this, I don't know who it applied to, but in El Cajon, the school board was, they had a lot of Christians get on the school board, and they took the homosexual gay curriculum out of the schools. I want to challenge some of y'all to get on the school board in San Diego so we could take the curriculum out of our schools. I just wanted to say that. And how does that tie into this is that we as Christians cannot sit back and let our culture go down to the pit. And that's what's happening right now. And when you saw those pictures, you saw an outgrowth, overflow, what this culture is becoming, sexual immoral. Once you take morals out, everything else falls. We will be the only ones that are trying to say this is wrong, and we will be designated as the enemy of the state, literally. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that you have to decide as you look around and look at the news who you are as a Christian. Are you going to obey God and live strictly to what the Word of God says and understand what the battle is all about? This is a spiritual battle. You know, those guys ran those planes into New York, and I'm from New York, and it was a horrible thing what they did. But they were committed. They were committed. They were wrong, but they were committed. How committed are you to your Christ? How committed are you to what you believe? Don't get so hung up in being American that you got to go with what America's doing. You better read this book and say, because let me tell you something. America and how the country's going is anti this book. I did an assembly the other day in the school, and I got to talk with two people. You know, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about God anymore. Just make sure, you know, we know you're. But I can go in that school and curse. I can go in that school and say a boy can do this to another boy and put this in his boom boom and all that kind of stuff. I can talk about all that. But I can't talk about God. What? I can't say God loves you. I can't say, they didn't even want to introduce me as a pastor. They're so paranoid. I know what you believe. Number one. Let's look at our notes. Number one. He told Abraham to cross over and leave his family. Write down the word Hebrew. Hebrew means cross over. Hebrew means cross over. Let's look at chapter 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed and went to Haran. Now let's look at the map. We're going to look at the map and see where he went. We got that map. Down to the bottom right, you're going to see Ur of the Chaldeans where Abraham lived. And he went up north all along the Euphrates River, and he went to Haran. Then he crossed over the Euphrates and came down. He stopped at Jordan, and he went to the Bethel, the next stop. And Bethel, we're going to see in a minute, he built an altar. Then he went down to Egypt. Brother did a lot of walking because there was a famine in the land. Then he came back and went to Bethel. That's all where he walked. So he went from Ur, the Chaldean. By the way, Ur, the Chaldeans, they worship the moon god. It's called Sin. Allah is also the moon god. That's why they have a crescent moon on their mosque. They worship the moon god. Okay? The moon is not a god. The moon can't speak to you or do anything for you. But if you think he can, you believe whatever you think. And then, but it doesn't mean it's true. Then he walked up to Haran. Now look in your notes. When he went to Bethel, he built an altar and worshiped God at Bethel, B-E-T-H-E-L, and called on the Lord. Bethel. Everyone say Bet. Say El. Bet means house in the Hebrew language. The second letter is a bet, and it looks like a little house, and it's called house of God. Beth El is God. Beth El. Beth Lachem. Lachem is bread. Beth Lachem is the house of bread where Jesus was born. He's the bread of life. It's not an accident that all stuff happened. God hooked it all up. Next one. Number three. God gave Lot choice of the land. The first choice of the land. Number three. Chapter 13, verse 10 to 12, what they did is they walked around and they got to the promised land, and God told Lot, Lot, you got too many sheep, I got too many sheep, you got too many servants, I got too many servants, we got to split up. And he's going to tell Lot, Lot, you could pick the land first by faith. He let Lot go first. Look what it says in chapter 13, verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plains of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord and like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. And Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east as they separated from each other. If God has a plan for your life, don't get so anal thinking you have to make it happen. Example, God told Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land, the promised land, you're going to have great kids. And Abraham allowed Lot to go first, trusting God would give him what God wanted him to have. And sometimes we can say, I got to have this, so everyone get out of my way, I'm going to beat you down, I'm going to make it happen. Nuh-uh. Faith says, I'm going to conduct myself according to the word of God, trusting that God is going to make it happen. And sometimes doing that means things happening that you don't understand. I'm standing in line at the airport, and thinking, I got to get on this line. We'll get there. We'll get my, get an exit row or whatever. And you want to get in line quick. I hate when people cut in front of me. Not, I hate when people are in front of me. I hate when people cut deceptively. And I hate it when people do it, and they know they do it, and they just kind of don't want to look at you, right? And you want to say, why'd you just do that? And then I hate it when old ladies do it. Now, all old people aren't nice, just like all young people. Some old people were crabby when they were young, and they were crabby when they get old. And old people just walk, hey, with little canes. And you want to just like, yo, granny, why'd you do that? You saw me standing here. I just reached down, tied my shoe, and you just jumped in front. And you may think, I have to make this happen. I have to say something because I got to be first. And God said, no, just relax. I got everything under control. Now, I'm not saying play the lottery. I'm not saying play the lottery, but let's hypothetically think, you know, you got to get in line so you can get this certain number. Someone cuts in front of you. Well, maybe God wanted you to have the next ticket. Again, I'm not saying play the lottery, but just using it as an illustration. My point is this. If God wants you to have something, your job is just to be obedient to what he says. Your job is not to take control of the situation. You will never be in control of the situation. Your job is to do what God said. Abraham, by faith, said, Lot, go ahead and take the best land. I'll take seconds. And then look what God did in your notes. Number four, he received the promise of the land. He received the promise of the land. Verses 13 to 16. Chapter 13. The Bible says, the men of Sodom was exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and west. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. He said, Abraham, I already knew Lot was going to not pick the promised land that I was going to have for you. What I have for you is I have for you. If God has a raise for you, you're going to get the raise as long as you obey God. Don't worry about your boss. Just do your job. If God has a woman for you to date, don't worry about who's asking around. They're going to mess up. If you do what God says, she'll come back around. Same thing with some guy. If you know some little, if I got to get him, I got to be all hoochiness. You don't need to be hoochie. Now, there may be some hoochie mama getting that guy's attention. And if that's the case, he's not the guy you want. But even if he is the guy, it's going to be after he gets his hoochiness out and realize he needs to walk with God. But don't compromise the Bible to make something happen that God has said is going to happen by faith. That's like if we're going to go get this building, which we are. Okay, do I got to play the lottery and try to win the money? No. Do I got to go rob a bank? No. Do I have to lie to somebody? No. Those are not options. I'm going to pray. I'm going to obey, and I'm going to trust God. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And it's the same in your life. So Abraham said, Lot, go ahead first. And then God said, good job, Abraham. Good step of faith. Now check this out. Here's what I'm giving you. It's not leftovers. It's just what I wanted. Lastly, he built an altar and worshiped God in Hebron. He built an altar the whole time he was worshiping God. Abraham walks. What do you want me to do, God? Go right. Abraham walks. What do you want me to do, God? Worship. Thank you, God. Abraham walks. Go left. Thank you, God. Abraham walks. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Is that your life? Look what it says in chapter 13, verse 16 to 18. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent, went and dwelt by the terebinth trees in Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. The whole time Abraham's walking in the unknown, the whole time he's going places he's never been, receiving promises he didn't know how it was going to happen, he's praising and worshiping God because he trusted God. He trusted God. This week, here's my challenge to you. We're going to take communion in a minute. This week, here's my challenge to you. Go walk in the unknown. God, and raise your hand. I'll let you know when to raise your hand. I want you to think about this. How many of you are in a situation where God's asking you to do something, and you're not doing it because you don't have enough information? You know it's right, but you may not feel like it. You're scared. You don't have enough information. You're whatever, whatever. And God's saying, I want you to do it. And the only thing between you and doing it is a step of faith. Raise your hand. Go do it. Go do it. There was a guy who used to work for the Chargers. His name was Sid Brooks. Sid Brooks was the equipment manager. He's the most famous equipment manager I've met. He had pictures in his office with presidents and Colin Powell, all these big people. And he was the equipment manager. He did our laundry. But he's just an amazing guy. And he used to talk trash all the time. He says, you ever climb a mountain? I go, no. And he would stick out his chest and say, climb Mount Brooks. He was that kind of a brother. So he would walk around. And everyone loved Sid. He was just a very respected guy in the community still. He's retired. And he used to say, you know, if you looked at him, he says, you want some of this? You want some of this? And he says, there's nothing between me and you but air and opportunity. And then he would blow the air out of the way. Ain't nothing between me and you but opportunity. Let's go. You feel froggy, jump. You know all the things that God has called you to do? Ain't nothing between you and it but air and opportunity. And the air is gone. God is saying, let's go. But what about this? But what about that? I'm not telling you. I'm not going to tell you. And you can waste years trying to find out what God is not going to tell you until you step. In a minute, we're going to take communion. But before we do that, we're going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior. This country is full of the gospel. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved by faith. Lord, I want to cross over from my past to my future, from darkness to light, like Abraham crossed over. So as the ushers come forward, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, there are people here today who really would like to receive you as their Savior. They know they've been waiting too long for too many answers that you won't give them. You've already given them enough in the Word through their experiences. If you realize that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, I would encourage you not to take communion unless you pray, have prayed, or do pray this prayer with me now, to ask him to forgive you. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like Christ to forgive you, just pray, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin is wrong. And I know the penalty is death. Dear Lord, please forgive me. Please be my Savior and my Lord and my Master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just lift your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. Good, good, good. Very good. We see you. Good. Very good. You can put your hands down now. Lord, we thank you for those people. And Lord, we pray you bless our communion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give those people a hand real quick. After the service, we're going to have people underneath the screens that want to pray with you who raise your hands. Please bring the people who brought you here. And if you want prayer for anything, there are people under the screen. So hold the bread and the juice, and we'll take it together.
Say that you're
We thank you for being a good God to us, and thank you for being good to us. And I pray we can be faithful in what you call us to be and do. In Jesus' name, amen. As we wait for the last few trays to go through, I want to clarify what my reference is to Muslim and their commitment. Actually, I want to reinforce it. It is very important for us to understand that God requires our whole heart. He requires us to be fully, fully committed to Him. And when you look around the world, there are people who are very committed to what they believe. And it would be very wrong to, just because you disagree with what they believe, not respect their commitment to that belief. And when you see these people who are willing to die for themselves, some of them are just, you know, little kids that don't understand. Like a little boy who had the bomb strapped on his body and he didn't blow himself up. I'm sure he was scared to death. But these grown adults believe, they know what they're doing. I'm going to die for what I believe. And we are so comfortable and so blessed in this country, we become soft because we would even dare to be accused of being a Christian at our job, much less die. That's a shame. Matter of fact, I was at a thing this week, and one of the speakers says it says a lot about our country, as blessed as we are, that a book, The Prayer of Jabez, which is a great book, sells so much because we want to be blessed more. As much as we got, we want more. And I want to challenge you, because there are so many Christians walking around whose lives are messed up. They're no different than anybody else. And it's only because you have not sold out to Jesus. You're just playing a game. That's all you are. You're just playing a game. You're Christian by name because you live in America. And I would challenge you to question whether you're really saved. Because when God comes into your life, He changes you. I stopped doing cocaine in one day. Stopped smoking marijuana in one day. Stopped cursing in one day. And not because I'm a good guy, because I'm not. I'm a sinner. Evil, wicked. But Jesus Christ is that powerful. And if you got issues, lay your burdens down at the cross. Stop playing games with God. Lord, we thank you that you died, and we take this bread because we know you got nailed. Lord, we have nothing to complain about. And we take this bread acknowledging that you went all the way for us, and you require us to go all the way for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you that your sinless blood cleanses us of our sin. It was your blood. We take this cup remembering that, acknowledging that. In Jesus' name. Listen, this week, challenge yourself to be a person of faith and step up and do what you got to do, even in the little things, and see what God does. God is faithful. Amen? If you want prayer, we'll have people up here to pray for you, and let's sing a song.